The point, of course, is that the joy between husband and wife, the joy stressed by this Deuteronomic passage, is a joy that stems from a love that is rooted in a shared covenantal loyalty and dedication. This is the love that is celebrated by the Torah. This is the love on which a Jewish marriage must be built. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 36, Love, Marriage, and the Defiance of Despair. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-minute mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
In 2018, a remarkable woman by the name of Gina Turgle passed away. I quote from an obituary in the Times, which tells her incredible story. Quote, Gina Turgle, who was half of an oft-told love story, born in the Holocaust, and whose barracks mates at the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp included Anne Frank, died on June 7th. She was 95. The Holocaust Educational Trust was among those announcing her death. The location was not given. Ms. Turgle was imprisoned in several concentration camps after the Nazis invaded Poland and rousted her family from a comfortable home in Krakow. Most of her family members died, but she and her mother survived to see the liberation of Bergen-Belsen in northern Germany. One of the liberating British soldiers, Sergeant Norman Turgle, saw her and was love-struck, so much so that soon after meeting her, he managed to arrange a dinner for her at the officers' mess at his British camp. The lavish setting she encountered when she entered perplexed her. I turned round to the Sergeant Norman, Ms. Turgle recalled in an oral history for Shalom TV, a Jewish cable channel. I said, do we expect any special visitors? What am I doing here? So he says, you are the special visitor. This is our engagement party. They married 6 months later. Their love story became a favorite light-in-the-darkness tale for the news media. Ms. Turgle was the bride of Belsen, but she took care over the years to make sure that the horrors she and millions of others experienced were recounted as well. She related her story in interviews and in a book, I Light a Candle, and worked with educational groups over the year. In 2005, at 81, she escorted Queen Elizabeth II to her seat for a Holocaust Memorial Day commemoration in London, held on the 60th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, one of the camps in which she was held. It is indeed an incredible story. Love in a death camp after liberation. And it highlights the joy that Jews find in marriage, even, or indeed especially, after coming face to face with the most hellish of experiences. Because of the centrality of family to Jewish life, the creation of a Jewish home is seen as the summit of Jewish joy, and the rejoicing at the heart of marriage is emphasized by Maimonides, who lists as a separate mitzvah a law in Deuteronomy chapter 24. The passage reads, when a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken. This is one translation, but a better one might be that he shall rejoice with his wife whom he has taken. The Bible here describes a moment in which the biblical people of Israel are at war, but it is not, as the Talmud stresses, an emergency that necessitates the participation of everyone. In such a situation, a groom is exempted from the army by divine command for the first year of marriage. The commandment strikingly highlights the love that is at the heart of a relationship. This does not mean, of course, that marriage in Judaism is only about love. Indeed, when one studies the Sheva Brachot, the seven blessings that are recited under the chuppah, one will note that the word for love, ahava, only makes an appearance later in the liturgy. The blessings take us on a tour through time, describing the creation of the world, the making of Adam and Eve, and then the blessing speaks suddenly of the consolation of Zion. Sos tasis v'takel ha'akara, b'kibbutz bonea l'tocha b'simcha. May the barren one rejoice, meaning Zion, which for so many centuries sat in a state of destruction, when ultimately her children will gather unto her in joy. The meaning of the blessing is that every Jewish marriage is seen as the creation of a link in covenantal time that will not only help ensure the endurance of the Jewish people, but also thereby lead to the people's return to the Holy Land and ultimately its full redemption and restoration. Only after Zion has been mentioned, only after the destruction has been remembered, only after a commitment to the Jewish future has been stressed, then and only then do the blessings turn to the bond between bride and groom, and they are suddenly, in these blessings under the chuppah, addressed, Sameach tesamach re'im ha'hovim, rejoice, rejoice, beloved covenantal partners. Kisamechacha yitzircha b'gan Eden mikedem. as your Creator caused you to rejoice in the Garden of Eden of old. Only after Zion has been mentioned is the love between bride and groom suddenly and beautifully described. The point, of course, is that the joy between husband and wife, the joy stressed by this Deuteronomic passage, is a joy that stems from a love that is rooted in a shared covenantal loyalty and dedication. This is the love that is celebrated by the Torah. This is the love on which a Jewish marriage must be built. It is so striking, then, to return to the story of Gina Goldfinger, who became Gina Tergel, a woman who went through hell and who nevertheless dedicated herself in love with her husband to the perpetuation of the memory of the Jewish world that had been lost. Thus, the Times further tells us, quote, Gina Goldfinger was born on February 1, 1923 in Krakow, the youngest of nine children of Samuel and Estera Goldfinger, who ran a small textile business. Her father died when she was young, but her mother continued the business, and the family was living comfortably when the Germans invaded Poland in 1939, confiscated their possessions, and uprooted them. They were relocated to a cramped apartment, then to the Jewish ghetto in Krakow, then in 1942 to the Plaszow concentration camp nearby. In 1944, Ms. Tergel was force-walked over days and days to Auschwitz, further west in Poland. She often described being sent naked into a building with others, supposedly for a disinfecting shower. Nothing happened for a long time, though eventually water came on. She concluded later that the building was a gas chamber and that a malfunction or some other intercession saved her life. I often ask, why were my brothers and sister shot, Ms. Tergel said in an interview with the Toronto Star in 1987. Why was my sister injected with petrol? Was I meant to be here to tell this story to people who didn't know? Perhaps God guided me, put me under her wing. This is the woman who helped make a marriage with a Jewish-British soldier that liberated her. A woman who saw herself as called by God to retain and transmit the memory of the Jewish world, thereby preserving remembrance and helping ensure Jewish continuity. Strikingly, the man who officiated under Gina Goldfinger's chuppah was a British Jewish chaplain by the name of Leslie Hardman, who arrived to liberate the camp in which Gina was held, and who famously, on the first Friday evening after liberation, officiated at a special service that was recorded by the BBC, a service at the end of which HaTikvah was sung, and at which Leslie Hardman famously declaimed, Am Yisrael Chai, adding in English, the people of Israel still liveth. A dedication to Jewish endurance and a faith in Jewish eternity. This is what this man reflected, and he then went on to officiate at this miraculous chuppah. For in the end, the two go hand in hand, Jewish marital love and joy, and Jewish faith in the covenantal future. This is what Gina, who became Gina Tergel, taught all of us, and that is why the memory of her joy under her chuppah lives on. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.